This is the first class of the series. We're starting for Giovis. Start from the first Mishnah. It's a logical place to start. The introductory Braisa, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lo Chel Rabo, I'll leave for now. So I'd like to start right away by the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah has a very special introduction that is not to be found anywhere else in Shas. Moshe Kibul Torah Sinai. They're legal. Moshe Kibul Torah Sinai. Most of the Shuv Yishuv Skein and Skein and Levim and Levim Masulan Chikadasa Dagdoyla. Before we get down to what is wants to be said here in the Mishnah starts with this Hagdama of telling us the Seder HaMesayra from the time of Kabbalah Seder of Har Sinai down to the Zmar of the Mishnah, down to the Zmar of the Anshikin HaSekdoyla. Mesayra of Torah is something that could have been put at the first Mishnah in Shas, or at the last Mishnah in Shas, or any other place in Shas that would be found. The question is, why was it put here? Of all places, is something that L'chayr is not something particular to Masechus Avos. This is something that relates to all of Torah. Why did we find to start the Anshiknes Zagdoyla? We have to introduce them by saying that they were the receivers of the Messiah back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the first question that needs to be asked here on the Mishnah is, what is this doing here? There are maybe some protim that can be discussed in the details of the language of the Messiah over here, but for brevity's sake, we're going to leave it just on this question, and we'll throw out only one answer that is given. And that is, since that this mesechta is a mesechta of what people in the English they translate as ethics, midos, derech eretz, some of them trying to consider it. It is an area where it's not obvious that it is halacha. It's not obvious that it is something that comes misinai. So this is the place that we have to emphasize that bedafka here, that we have to emphasize that this is all not nice ideas. These are not ethics that some great wise men decided there were nice things for them to mention. Nice ideas, good advice. There's no advice in this mesechta. There's no psychology in this mesechta. Everything that we have in this mesechta is halacha. It's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. It's all Torah. And has to be learned in the same way that any other part of Torah has to be learned. Since this is not so natural, it's easier for a person to relate to the halachas of Yeradeya, the halachas of Chosh Mishpat as halacha. But in the area of ethics, he feels that it's nice ideas, good advice, something that will work nicely. So it has to be emphasized for us to start is that we're dealing with Torah. We're going to try to use this introduction as an order aglenu, as a directing beacon of light throughout our approach to the Mishnayos. And in each place, we're going to try to understand the halacha, the hara min hashamayim. That was what we're being taught here. And to try to avoid, which, and sometimes it seems on the surface not so obvious, and sometimes on the surface it seems like nice ideas or advice, and we have to try to get deeper than that and find what is the hara that is being taught us and not aids us.
Is that why is it called
always? Okay. Why is it called always? That is one of the reasons that it's given in a portion for us called always. The simple understanding of always is that Shema b'ni Musa Avicha. This is what the Rishonim bring. The Shlomo HaMelech speaks about Musa. He says, Shema b'ni Musa Avicha. Musa, that area of Chochmah called Musa, relates in particular to the relationship of Av and Ben. And since these Tanoim are teaching us the divremus of the Torah, are teaching us these sages. What I mean by halacha is not lafugi musa, but to say that musa is halacha. Musa is not a suggested behavior patterns. The reason why it's called olos is, on the surface, we can just say, because it relates to the pasuk Yishmael b'nei Musa Avicha, that the musa is given for father to son. Mefarshim explain, you have here right away, v'heim amru, huayo imer, something that's constantly repeated in the Mishnayos. And this is one of the misleading statements that gives the impression that this is a idea that he used to say. Right? Something like it's a personal idea that he came up with. So that's what we have to indicate, that not that way, that everything is part of halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And it's all part of Torah. That Hu Ayoimer, so the Rishonim explains, it means that each person found it necessary, either because of his particular chelek in Torah or because of the needs of his generation, to emphasize certain ideas. Hu Ayoimer means the Shogo B'fiv. This was an idea that he constantly repeated. Anything that that's put into Shas is obviously something that's negated the Dairis. And here in the first Mishnah, something that we're going to apply this to, meaning that although we would find in halachas, we have halachas negeir to Sanhedrin, there are halachas negeir to Kobonos, Beis HaMikdash, all areas that are not negeir to us, are not negeir to us. But in these prokim, it is incumbent upon us to try to find the halacha lemaisa, to try to find the limud which applies to us in each one of these. Since this is Shema B'nei Musa Avicha, this is the Chelek HaMusar of Torah, even something that would seemingly be first and foremost addressed, like we're going to have, for example, in this Mishnah, to things that don't apply to us, every aspect of Pirkei Avos, this is maybe one aspect that stands aside, applies in every generation to every person. But there's a difference only in emphasis. To some people, every generation, every person has his particular situation, where one particular thing may be more necessary to emphasize than the other. Generally, the Yetzer Hara always likes to come and tell us the opposite number. In other words, Torah is always made up of the two extremes in the middle roads. So, which all of the sides are explained in Torah. In other words, and always, like the Rambam says, the famous, that the two extremes are always negative, generally negative, and the middle of the road is always the positive line. So somebody's too far on the right side, we'll have to explain him to go left, my young man. The person who's too far on the left side, we'll have to explain him to go right. So what's wrong with each extreme, you'll find separate chazal, and maybe just give this as one introduction, dealing particularly with the chelik of Kor Yosef to Agoda of Shas. It is the system of Chazal that they don't give in any one place the whole story. But each point that they're making, they make according to the Nekuda that needs to be emphasized. For example, if they're pointing out something that relates to the right side of an issue and telling you that don't go too far right, so they're not going to say don't go too far right, but on the other hand, don't go too far left. On whatever issue they're talking about, they're going to tell you the one-sided of the issue that you're talking about. In order to get the full picture, you have to be able to properly put together all the different chazalim that speak on the subject, and to get the whole picture of what chazal relate to on the subject, and then properly fit yourself in. Now, where you are, any person who puts the other extreme far enough away can find himself as the middle of the road. It's just a question of knowing. So we have to try to do in all of these things to try to get perspective on them and to see what it is, the point that's being brought. The Yetzer Hara always likes to pull out exactly the opposite thing what we should hear. The person who is on the one side, so he really needs to be pushed a little bit in the other direction, he'll bring up all the chazal that are talking to the person on the opposite one. So we have to be careful in each Mishnah that we learn, and if we're trying to apply it somehow a little bit to make it lemaisa to us, to make sure that we get first knowing where the Mishnah is speaking about, where the Agada is talking about, and second about where we are in relation to that. Maybe just one other statement in Hagadoma. Mishnayos, a person who's familiar with Mishnayos in the Masechta that has Gemara. Arba Ovis Nezikin, Ashur Abor Mava Ve'Evin. That's a famous Mishnah. If we look through all of the Gemaras that explain that Mishnah, we find that we're dealing with the most concise definitions in the Mishnah itself, that it really needs quite a bit of explanation to get the picture. Mishnayos were never made to give you, in and of themselves, a whole picture. They're only the Rosh HaProkim at best of Tzoyish Baal Peh. And in the areas where we don't have the Gemara, so we're up against a difficult time. We have to work doubly hard, but the first step is to realize what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Mishnayos. And Mishnayos are extremely concise and not on the surface necessarily terribly clear. We have Gemaras that say, Hachi Mayaskinon, referring only to this particular case, like I was speaking about before, or even Hasui Mechser or the Hachi Ketani. There's such things like that, so that the Mishnahs, sometimes the Maskona are quite a bit different than they may have appeared on the surface. We have to be makabel the keys to unlock the secrets of the Mishnayos and to try to get some Divrei Torah Emes from the Divrei Mishnayos. In Ovis, we're particularly fortunate that we have many Mephoshim, and from the Gedolei Mephoshim, we have from Rishonim. We have from people that were able to open up the keys for us a little bit and give us an insight into something what we can take out of these Mishnayos. So we're going to try to be hoylech with Rav Yisenu. I'm going to base first and foremost on Rabbi Yehuda. Wherever there are particular points, I'm going to read it inside. But unfortunately, I'll be malakit and put it together and bring out whatever will be necessary. Rabbi Yehuda is a particularly important Rishon, and on Pirkei Avos he gives us many keys that are very often quite spectacular, quite amazing. What the pshat of the Mishnah and where he ended up, if it wouldn't be for somebody, it wouldn't be a Rishon, the Koyach of a Rishon, to be able to do this for us, we wouldn't be able to get there on our own. The same to some of the other Mephoshim. So we're fortunate that we have the Mephoshim, we have Rebbeim, and B'derech Klal, even if I don't necessarily always mention the names, but I'm always going to be basing it on the mainly the Rishonim, and the Reb Chaim from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is a very important Pirish, and the Pirish of the Maral, and Pirkei Avos. These are the main Mephoshim that we're going to be using. We also have the Ben Avichayim, has a Pirish, and Miri has a Pirish, of course, the Rambam's Pirish, and the Mishnayos, and several others. But this is the main approach that we're going to be trying to looking for the Halacha. This is the first thing, try to see it as Divrei Torah, as Yisoidos, not Eitzos, telling us Klalim. Two, that we're going to try to look, one of the keys that's going to help us is look for Seder. Look for Seder, look for an order. If a Mishnah puts together a couple ideas that don't seem to relate, we're going to have to look for a relationship, because these are not things that are just haphazardly put together. And like we said, we'll look through the Rishonim, we're going to try to find. I'd like to get right away, maybe start now into the Divrei of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but here is a classical case where the pshat of the Mishnah and what can be understood in it are sometimes quite distant. So the first question that we dealt with was why the Maseirah was brought up to here. And this was introduction where we were told that before we listen to what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah have to say, we have to remember who they are. We have to remember they're coming based on all of the Maseirah confirmation Rabbeinu down through the Skenin, the Vim, Maseirah Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Vehem Amru. From there on, especially throughout the first parak, it went door after door. Why did Pirkei Avos start here? Right? The Maseirah started, if you look in the Rambam and the Hakdama, so he has also a Seder of Maseirah, but he started way back from Har Sinai, and he goes all the way down to himself, down to the Rambam. Right? What's the reason why the Mishnah first says, well, everybody can tell the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, they were Makabal, and the first person I saw him to say was the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. The Mefarshim explain, and this is something we'll just say in short, because it's really a difficult subject, a very complicated historical subject, but in short, the idea is as follows. There were two basic tkufas in Klal Yisrael. The tkufa of Nevuah, Torah Shebiktav, which started from Moshe Rabbeinu and until the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, which was the Sefer Neviim. The Anshe Knesset HaGedolah included Chagai Zecharia, Malachi, and Mordechai was there, the Sefer of the Neviim. From the point of Moshe Rabbeinu until this point, this was the time of Torah Shebiktav, this is the time of Nevuah. Seichel HaOdom and Torah Shebaalpeh, which is the continuum from there, was secondary at that point to the Gilui Mefurish, the revelation that we had through Nevuah. Therefore, the Sidrei Chaim and the approach to Torah was drastically different. The time that Pirkei Avos opens in particular was at this vital point where the change of basic hanhaga was going from Divrei Nevuah to Divrei Chachamim. And therefore the place where the Divrei Chachamim we start have to bend our ear, and instead of asking Ma Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, we have to now, we can't ask directly Ma Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not going to get the answer for that directly anymore. Now we're going to have to ask Ma Omar Chachamim. Right. From the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah and further, is the exact time and the place where it's time for us to bend our ear. And if we want to hear Devar Hashem, we have to hear it through the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah and the Chachamim that followed him. This is the time, in short, where Torah was Moisa, the Chachamim, but the Torah went from the Nevuah, an open revelation through the service of the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah and the following Chachamim. And that's why, since we were making this difference, we were going from direct revelation till the Maimori HaChachamim, we have to indicate that it's a difference in form, but not a difference in essence. And that everything that the Divrei Chachamim, like we said before, is also Divrei Torah, and it's also Divar Hashem. It's not their personal opinions, or something that they dreamt up when they were staring at the stars. Right? This is all a chilek, a direct continuum of the revelation of Har Sinai. Being as such, this mission is ma'od tamua. Very, very strange. Since this is the starting point of Torah Shebaalpeh and Maimori Chachamim, we would expect that the first this is the first statement of Torah Shebaalpeh, given as a Maimori Chachamim, we would expect it to be something spectacular, yisoidi. And if the Mishnah would have started with the second Mishnah, and started in telling us, we would have seen that as much more of a starting point. Those are like mamash, the Yesodos of Yiddishkeit, the Yesodos of the Olam, like the Mishnah says, that's a starting point. What the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah have to tell us? There are three things. Heavy Masunim Bedin, that when you're making a court case, easy. Don't jump to conclusions. You have to think it over. Hamidu Talmidim Harbeg, there was a machlokes b'shamim b'shil, whether it's best to look for quantity and get the quality through quantity, or to emphasize only quantity and have only very few Talmidim. B'shil says you should have many Talmidim. Elef nechnosim b'shamayish, and one will go out later on. And b'shamay says you take only the Yechidim. Anybody who's not up to standard, you don't take him into the Beis Medrash. And here the Mishnah paskins this machlokes and tells us that we take Talmidim Harbe. And the third also Siyag L'Torah. Each one of these in themselves are very interesting and important statements. And we don't see, however, why they are those basic. They seem to be some, first of all, not necessarily some Shoyrish Advarim. They don't seem to be the beginning of the ideas, so important. And second of all, we don't see the relationship between them. They seem to be just nice three ideas pulled together. Here, the starting point things should have been extremely concise. It should have been in the most Shoresh, Adar Abba. If we see that Mishnah 2 is the Shoresh, it's the beginnings, Mamash, the Omud, the Omude Ha'olam, Torah, Avodah Gemurah Chasodim, then what comes before an Omud? When you have a Shoresh, the Shoresh, the Shoresh. Before the what the world stands on is the base of that the pillar stands on. So we would expect somehow that these should relate, and they just don't seem to fit the. So I'm going to have to try to approach this Mishnah with the beacon of these questions to give us an insight that these were not just the ideas that they seem on the surface, but there are some. There are yesodos that this should be the starting point. The different mafoshim, each one in his own language. I didn't find anybody that so openly asked these questions and directly answers, but from the Devorim that we found throughout the mafoshim, we can start getting indication of what this Mishnah, what the subject of the Mishnah is, and why this is so basic, and even a prerequisite to start the subject of Torah of Avodah Gemurah Chasodim. So we're going to try, I don't know if we have to succeed in all one evening, we'll take it one by one, try to get to see a path. I'm going to throw out just one idea for starters, just to indicate a type of a pattern that we can be working with, and why this would be a starting point. Just in short, just to give an indication of the type of approach that we can make here. In Toiv and Ra, in good and bad, basic Shoresh of Toiv and Ra, that there is in the world, it's explained in some of the Svarim, that Ra has its source in three forms of movement. One of them is Pzizus. Ra comes and pushes a person to act without proper forethought. A classical example of this was, first of all, Chet Al Merishon. If you would just wait it off, save Al Taisa, till Shabbos came in, a few hours, we would have all saved a lot of difficulties in the last 6,000 years. Another classical revamp of that Chet was Chet Ha'egel. Just a couple of hours. They had a problem. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is late, according to their cheshbon. Aaron gets up and says, you made the cheshbon wrong. Right? It's another day, wait till 6 hours. By the end of the 6 hours, if they would have waited, test it out. You want to make an eagle? It can wait 6 hours. Test it out. They give you an iron chur, they present it, that, no, you make a mistake in your calories. Don't be so sure of yourself. What? Take it slow. Think it over. Check it out. If they would have waited the 6 hours, Moshe Rabbeinu would have come down, there would have been no problem. The same way that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, everything immediately ended. If they would have waited till Moshe Rabbeinu came down, it would have never started. Most errors, human error, one of the most earliest sources of human error is here. That a lot of times a person does something without thinking, and then somebody indicates to him, or he finds out to himself by reaction, he sees what happens, what did I do? If it were just 1 minute, think it over. This is the golden rule of avoiding a tremendous amount of source of Ra that there is in the world. Another source of Ra in the world is the incapability of extending beyond one's barriers, one's boundaries, excuse me. A person feels threatened by any extension and needs everything to be brought in, say for himself. Called Anochi, a person who is a egoist, a person that's self-centered. This is another one of the sources of much of the evil that goes on in the world. A third source of Ra is the most common Yetzer that we know him well. There are drives, for example. There are drives, physical drives, for all of the things that a person needs, all the parts of normal life, which then in themselves, if they were kept in their proper boundaries, would be of a positive quality. But there's the Su'or Shabi'isa. Yetzer is referred to as the Su'or Shabi'isa, the yeast that makes things right, the Sisa. The idea behind it is that the Yetzer comes in and takes what otherwise would be good or positive koichos and boils them, gets them to bubble. Excitement beyond the proper use of them, and this pushes a person over the boundaries of the use of these koichos. This is the classical form of Yetzer Hara that we most commonly, maybe, I mean, I am, I mean, there are a few other people familiar with him, that we have to deal with. These are three basic forms of Ra. It's not. It's two totally different. Not necessarily. The problem is not because he wants for himself. He can't extend beyond his boundaries. Could be easy. He even is extending beyond his boundaries. But he's doing it with beyond, fakirat. Not that he's holding back, but he's extending beyond the boundaries. He's going too far. It's the opposite direction. He's going further than he's not holding, should be holding back, and he's let the reins go too freely. Things out of control, going beyond the boundaries, not too held in, but too lit out. This is something that it's not stated here, this is not the source of it, but I saw in one of the Mephoshim that if you take these three basic forms of Ra, why these are the three, and why that's beyond right now the scope, this is an indication. These three ideas that are mentioned here in the Mishnah are directly corresponding, are the positive form of telling us all of these different ideas. One, that we said that Jesus, the person is, doesn't wait a minute to think things over, to put a judgment on his actions. On that, the Mishnah says, having assumed the din. This is the Rishonim explained already, actually it's in the also Rav Nosson, having assumed the din, although on the surface, and certainly in the first indication, speaking to Dayanim, you're speaking to the young person who's making a judgment in Mishpat, that if you have a court case, you have to, even if you heard this case before, think it over again, maybe there's something a little bit different. Make sure that you have your sources right, make sure that you have the proper understanding both of the Torah and of the case and the application of the Torah to the case. But also included in this, having a sunnah din, is every judgment that a person has to make. When we judge others, or we judge our actions, right? Having the sun in the din. Right? Don't jump to conclusions. Don't go after the muskel rishon, like the first idea that comes into your head. The muskel rishon always comes in as a certainty. Right? A person's gut reaction, or a person shoots from the... Right? Certainly I should do this, I shouldn't do that. Having the sun in the din. First thing that we're told is not pzizus. Even though you think you have a clear question, you have a clear idea here that justifies whatever it is that you want to do, check it out. Wait 1 second, rejudge it, rethink it, think it over. And very often, much Ra disappears as soon as you start thinking it over. If you can call the fellow by the name, as soon as you start even considering maybe it's not the way it appears, it loses all of its... some fool's gold is so see-through that if you... 1 minute, let's look at it. As soon as you look at it, you do have the capabilities of making the test and saying, no, it's not the real stuff. So, having the sunnah of the din, this is against psizus, this is against quick reactions without thinking. Negative, the idea of tzimtzum, negative, the idea of being too self-centered. So, we say, amido tamim parbe, a person in Torah also, could every Rebbe could certainly the level of learning that he can do on his own would probably be higher than the level of learning that he can do when he has to involve with Talmidim, especially when you have Ribui HaTalmidim, right? When you can't choose the custom-made Talmidim that fit exactly your kahis, and then it will be up to your levels. And then you have to lower yourself down and bring things and translate them down to the level of the Talmud. So this is the opposite of the person who is self-centered. This is telling you that every marvah b'talmidim. Don't look after just your own Torah, looking after your own levels, but you have to have a lot of talmidim. When are you going to have time left for yourself? Marvah b'talmidim. It's preferable even for your own Torah, telling you don't look only for yourself. And the third one, obvious also, the problem with the Yetzer Hara is it always boils up and takes you beyond the boundaries. And then a heter, it will bring you to the yeser, gets you excited, involved, overly involved in a certain thing, and then, whoops, you're over the boundary. You're from the heter, you get to the yeser. How do we prevent this? You have to put boundaries up. There have to be fences. If there's no fences, you can easily slide over the boundary lines. So in order that you can't slide over the boundaries, you put up a fence. So here we have just an indication of an approach where what it seems to be saying on the Mishnah, that seems to be something particular to having Sumim B'din, certainly with, so I'm not a Dayan. The first thing the Anshei Knesset, they were speaking to themselves, right? They had to know that they have to be Sumim B'din. They were Dayanim. But me? I'm not a Dayan. Marba Talmidim Harba, Mida Talmidim Harba. Not most people don't have the option. Most people either have no talmidim or a few talmidim. I mean, talmidim harbe, that's not my problem. Doesn't play to me. Also, those siyog l'Torah, for most people, the siyogim that were necessary for a person to survive, the chachamim did for us. It's all prepackaged in the Shulchan Aruch. That was true in the times of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, where that was the time where the idea of the Rabbanan started. So you had to indicate the importance of Sog L'Torah. But for us, they did that for us. A chosid, a poor, has an idea that he can't rely just on the Shulchan Aruch. And he has to go b'lifnim shur sedin. He has to make his own takonos and tikkun prishus beyond the halacha. But again, look, halavai we should all be tzaddikim. So again, we can read this mishnah and go on and say, oh, this one wasn't relating to me. I'll go on to the next one. As soon as we lost the first mishnah, we might be losing the yisaidos, which will help us understand further mishnas. So here we just gave one approach where we see that, no, that there's something here for everybody. There's something that is mamish from the basis of Tov V'Ra, of the Koichos HaNefesh that a person has to know that he's involved with. And that these were three general and prerequisites to involve in any particular action. But we're dealing on the earlier level, we're dealing on a source level here of what is the basic source of mistake. And we're giving the three remedies, the three trufot that we should take before we involve ourselves. How we build our lives, that the Mishnah will tell us. But on what basis do we have to use? What shmirot, what medicine should we take to make sure that we build our life healthily that we have in this Mishnah? However, before we go further down this path, there's something that needs to be clarified. Inasmuch as, let's take the idea of Nesunim B'din, or Minot Aminim Harbei, all three of the ideas that we have in this mission are referring directly to Limud HaTorah. They're all referring to areas of Torah. The next Mishnah, so we know that Klai Yisrael has three Amudim, Torah, Nevor, Hoyda, Lumos, Chasadim. This Mishnah is all involved in Torah. The Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai also indicates to us that the Mishnah and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were foremost involved in Torah. Right? That was the subject that they were dealing with. They were proclaiming the basic statement of Torah Shebal Peh, which would enable us to continue and to take on the responsibility of Chachamim and of continuing Torah Shebal Peh, in extension of the Messiah of the Nevi'im back from Moshe Rabbeinu. This is something that needs to be indicated and clarified, that this indeed is the Shoresh of Yiddishkeit. Before we get to Torah, before we get to the triple prong approach of the next Mishnah, we have to state clearly, as a prerequisite, this Mishnah, that all aspects and all koiches, all of the basic koiches that we're going to be dealing with, that this Mishnah, in fact, does deal with some of the very most basic koiches we're going to see, as we've already seen, that teach us how to deal with building our lives properly, we have to know where the starting point is. So the first thing that is said here is that you should know that the starting point of Yiddishkeit on all levels and in all amudim, in all areas, starts from Torah. Torah, Avodat Gemilas Chasadim, but the prerequisite before that is Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Avodat Hashem, yes, that's one of the amudim, but it has to be based on Torah. Gemilas Chasadim, yes, it's one of the amudim, but it has to be based on Torah. The Gemilas Chasadim of Torah comes to mind, says that Rabbi Akiva, B'tchil Shemush L'Tayr HaChamim, he found a Meis Mitzvah. And he took him on his back a great distance to bring him to a basic course. And he came to his Rebbe to explain this great deed that he had. He thought he would get him a few brownie points, and explained to him that he was Ki'ilu Shofak Dom. Why? Because even though he was thinking that he was doing Gemilas Chasadim, he was doing a tremendous Gemilas Chesed, but it wasn't Al-Pi Torah. Al-Pi Torah, if you find a Meis Mitzvah, you have to bury him on the spot. A Meis Mitzvah is found, needs to be buried wherever he is found. Not to the halacha, there may be some problems. You have to know, I hope we don't meet any Meis Mitzvahs, there shouldn't be one. And if we do, nowadays you pick up your portable cell phone and ask the local orthodox rabbi what you should do about it. But I call them the people who specialize in. But the whole thing you see is an indication that all areas of Yiddishkeit, if they don't have their source in Torah, then they may lack their validity. I'd like to now go to a point in the Rabbeinu Yonah makes over here, which extends this idea, and he says something that is quite amazing. The first of the three that they said, meaning the very first statement that they're saying, was having Masudim B'Din, which Din, in first and foremost, relates to Man. When you're talking about Din, you're talking about a court case, which generally means Choshen Mishpat. We're talking about a lawsuit between two people on monetary matters, in whatever form that it is. This is in, what should we call it, modern man, or in, not even modern man, in an approach to religion as a religion, this is a very irreligious subject. This is called civil law. This is something that is the least, if a person would put up a hierarchy of ruchnius. Alright, so the Torah addresses the subject of business law and ganovim, and mazikim, it addresses that too. But we wouldn't put it in a high, we put it all the way down on the bottom. Yeah, somehow the Torah even deals with that. The Torah even gives lachas for reitzkim. What do you have to do for a reitzach? But that's, don't look for your ruchnius there, we wouldn't look for this as a source, as a basic source of a person's relationship to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Let's see the Divrei Rabbeinu Yonah. V'tama mashalom b'din k'dei l'hazel d'yonim yoisim eshaharoyz, to make this point, which could have been made on all halacha, it's true for all psak, and a royal person also has to be mesunim. But why especially in dinim? Shem ikur godol b'yediyos habayis v'ach. Amazing statement. This is the last place that we would think that we would make the statement. Person has no dinim. Why? Not so that there should be sholim bein ish l'chaveray, that society should exist well, or some of the other ideas that a person might think from mishpatim. But a person He has to be very careful in dinim, because shem ikka godol v'yatiyas habor v'yispoch. He's not finished. He has a few more statements to make. K'moshe Omar, excuse me. Haskel v'yidoy oisi k'ani Hashem oisi cheshpad v'yishpad stok v'horetz. Ki v'yir v'chafatz nivim Hashem. V'yich yaskel olam adasas Hashem. V'hu dov anim. How is a person going to know the Rabbi Yishlom? Knowledge? When we talk about Vyatata, so Vyatata is the highest level of intimate knowledge. The relationship between man and woman is called Yidiyah. The greatest level of relationship, the highest connection between two people is called Yidiyah. When a person knows, you know, even we use that in language, when you say that you have a relationship with somebody, you say, I know him. Right? How close I know him? Well, so here we're told that we should know the Rabbi Yishlom. How can you know the Rabbi Yishlom? Ach b'zois yedanu l'aseis dinin mishpot, ki Hashem oise eila. The way that we're going to know the Rabbi Yishlom is through dinu mishpot, because Hashem does such things. Shenemar, don dinonu v'hevyoin, oz toi v'aloyi yad aseis inun Hashem. מה השם דורש ממך כי עשיס משפט אבס פסל צנאי לוחס עם השם לוקחו כי הדינים הם שיוש גודל לתויר ומהם נשתה סוף. So here already we have an indication of the type of idea that we were indicating, that we were looking here something very, very basic. The first, very first words that came out of the Anshik Nesses are going to be Masunim B'din. B'din in particular, and the Bnei Yonah is opening up the door crack for us to peek in. Right, what's the big Yisoid here? Right? And it gives us a total different, going off in a different direction than we would think. We're not dealing with Beit Olam HaChaveiro so strongly here, we're talking Beit Olam HaMokim. Din, Mishpat. We're dealing with our capability of coming into contact of a close relationship called Yidiyah between man and God. And you know you can especially do that? You can do that with Dinim. Because Dinim are Shoyrish Godol LeTorah Umehem Nishnasach. This is something that needs clarification. This is something that we have to understand. What is this Yisoid? And indeed, that this is a shoyrish godol for understanding all of Pirkei Avos, understanding the difference between Torah, Musar, and man-made ethics of the greatest quality. Okay, true. The Rabbi Yishlam, like the Rabbi Yonah says, the Rabbi Yishlam does din mishpat also. It's one of the activities that the Rabbi Yishlam does. But again, the Rabbi Yishlam does many things. The Rabbi Yishlam does chesed also. What is in particular important for us to that will bring us to an understanding and coming a closeness to the Rabbi Yishlam by knowing the laws of Shosh HaMachos HaPor and the laws of a person who borrowed, a person who sold, a person, all of the Shoimer, all of these, and coming to the details of a complicated court case, this one said like this, and Eidim Ahin, and Eidim Ahin. Where's the Ruchnius there? Where's the Yidatas Hashem? There's a amazing idea which is basic to the idea of Midos, or the idea of all Bein Olam HaChaveiro, which is mamash at the source of Torah, and something that needs to be clarified. Where do we learn the rules of Bein Olam HaChaveiro, and particularly the rules of Midos? How do we know all of the halachas that the Torah says that a person should have midas toiras and to act properly beyond the particular mitzvahs that it says in Beit Olam HaChaveiro, but in general, where do we know that a person has to be a good person, that a person has to have refined midas? Where do we know that from? So this is a very important thing, even though it's difficult to come by and something that we have to know how to approach. But we have to know, we have to remind ourselves every once in a while, and this is what Shoram brings it in the Hakdama, all midos, all ways that man should build his character, we have one role model, and we have to build it on that. V'halachta b'drochav mahu racha machata racha. The Rabbi Shalom made man a very particular and special creature. Ki v'tzalam elakim osa sa'odo. Man is made in correspondence to the Rabbi Shalom. Like a shadow. A shadow is not a person. To that degree, man is certainly not the Rabbi Shalom. A shadow is nothing, really. It's not an existence. It's compared to the person that makes the shadow. And so too, certainly man relates to the Bani Shalom, there's nothing worth to compare. Even so, and this is the amazing thing, a full, living, thinking, feeling person has a shadow. And that shadow does relate to him in a certain form. That there is an exact correspondence between them. When that living, thinking person picks up his finger, the shadow picks up his finger too. When he moves his head, shadow moves his head. Because there is a correspondence. This is the marshal that the Torah gives us for the relationship between man and the Rabbanu Shalom. If you want to know yourself, if you want to know Torah, if you want to know how properly to build oneself, you have to know your Atzalam Elohim. And the pattern that you have to build, if you want to build Torah Midas, if you want to build Torah Maisim Tovim, and the same thing all other areas of human activity. So we have to know what man is, and that our relationship to man, the relationship to God, is one of a shadow to the person. Shadow him. Mahu rachum,
achato rachum. Isn't it true that man is intuition? The very creator of man knows to do good and not bad.
Halavai. Halavai. Meaning, in theory, true. Why? There's another possibility. And that's the continuum. Man is made straight. Man was made straight. What does straight mean? There is the direct relationship between Mahu Rafa and Mafata Rafa. It is his essence. It's not something he has to build from the outside. He was created that way. He is that way. If he would do what comes really naturally, pure naturally, then he would do everything right. Man has the capability of confusing himself. We call it rationalization, we call it excuse giving, we call it all kinds of forms that man has for answering the difference between what he knows is right and what he feels like doing. Because although man was made straight and that intuitively he should know what's right, he was also given a Yetzirah. He was an inside Yetzirah, an outside Yetzirah. He was given a Yetzirah where there were drives and pushes that can push him in other directions. But he knows it's not right. And man is right. Man is straight. So he has the capability of big shuchas b'nei sarabas. Other Rishon was given the first one to have that opportunity. We were born after this quite a bit of history. Man has been through an awful lot. And we were born near the end of the process. We're already quite developed. Chalai Yisrael has been through a lot. We are the Yorshim, both of good and of the negative sides of Chalai Yisrael, of all of the Doyos. So if we can pick ourselves up and say, well, do whatever, drive from the gut, generally you can't rely on that. However, there are times that we can. And this is the idea of having Mesunim B'Din. This is an idea, the very idea that we're speaking about. What you can't do that is if you didn't check to see. If you want to drive from the gut falsely, you know, without thinking, just a reaction, then you can't rely on that. Because that might be coming on Cheshbonos Rabbos that you made yesterday, last year, and your great-grandfather made 400 years ago. and that you have the Yerusha already of a little community in a certain area. Therefore, you can't simply rely on that. But if everything that you do, you check it out first, you think it over, then there's good chance that after you've been biting it, you put it up against the shadow again. See, does it fit? Is this a shadow? Is this Yerusha? The very asking yourself this question, if a person would take every action and ask him, what is this? Do I want to do this because this is the Elokim Asos HaOlam Yerusha? Or do I want to do this because this is the Heimdik Shuv HaShemayim Yisrael? They're asking yourself the question itself, and that is the idea of Heimdik Shuv HaShemayim Yisrael. Has within the power of overcoming much or most of the confusion. Because you are right that in depth man is that way. That if you make the effort of making the indication, test it out, check it out, it'll help. It'll help. Even in something that you were not taught, you have a Mesudim B'din. What am I going to think the second time? I'm going to think the same idea as I thought the first time. Right? I'm not going to get any new information in. But why having a Mesudim B'din? Why does it work? The way it works is because it separates what seems to be true, seems to be coming from the inner Rotzen, Ritzenein, Alaskas, Ritzenein, Ethel, and what is really coming from there. And that, every Mesudim B'din, a person just, easy, let's check it out, get a feeling. Is this really the right thing or not? It helps. It will help. It works. Din and Mishpat are the rules of the world. When the Rabbi Yisrael gave us a world, he gave us a world that has a system. He gave us a world that has a right and a wrong. It has a right way of doing things and a wrong way of doing things. And it has the whole hierarchy of law and system. The same way, exactly the same way that there are rules of nature. And nature was given over to man to run and to work with and to use according to his wisdom. But not free to the point that he can do whatever he wants, but only within those rules. Within the realm of the rules of nature, if he wants water to go up, he can't just disapprove of the rule of gravity that water goes down. He's going to have to supply some opposing force will get the water to go up. He may be able to use his chokmah and bring the idea of capillary action or something and can get the water to go up. But it's not going against the rules, it's an understanding of exactly one rule and another rule and how the rules relate. As this is true in Teva, in the physical world that we know, this is true in the Ruchnistic world, it's the world of everything that goes beyond the testing. There are rules, there are systems, and in order for things to work properly, it's not good enough to have good intentions. A person had good intentions, but made a mistake in a calculation, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. If the rules are not right with all the right good intentions, it won't work. The Rebbeinu Shem made the world, he made the man, and he made the capability of man's interaction to his world based on a system of din, a system of rules, a system of order that is bedafka. It has to be done this way. It's not good enough good intentions. In order to attain the revelations of the Chasdei Hashem, a person has to go and approach it through the approach of Din Mishpat. Just like the Teva is that way. The Rabbeinu Shalom gives us health. And he's Mashpia on us health as an example. But there are conditions. It's not unconditional. If we don't abide by the rules, the systems, and there are, if we, a person would have to make a rule book, right? we were taught this when we were a year and a half or 3 years old. And it's so ingrained in us that we don't pay attention to how many rules that we follow in a day. But if a person would make a detailed rule book of everything that he does, the do's and the don'ts that he does, is self-survival. We don't put a finger in a socket. No adult, hopefully, thought about doing that in the last few hundred years. But why not? Little children do think about it, actually. Sometimes even see what happens if you put a fork in there. Why aren't adults? Because they've already been ingrained with rules of knowledge. They know that that's not going to be very healthy, so they don't do it. If a person may make a list of the rules that he follows in any one particular day, just for self-survival and health, in his eating, in his sleeping, in all of his bodily functions, in every force and koyach that he came in contact with, you would see that he is totally encompassed with this. The more a person gets involved with greater powers, the more rules that come along with it. The fact that we don't think about them, again, doesn't... If a person gets up beyond maybe gravity and moves up to... to electricity, for example. So the rules of shmir, the rules of knowing what's proper use, improper use, get more complicated and more complex. And so too with all of the koichos, physical koichos, or physical koichos, there is everything that the Rebbein Shem gave good in the world, all of the chesed that there is in the world, it's prerequisite that it's used properly. Everything, all good that you can have, you don't get generally, except in extreme cases, unless you deserve it, in quotes, by abiding by the proper rules. Din u'mishpat is the system that teaches us the seder ha-mishpat of the Rabbanim Shlom. A person can have all intention of doing what's right. He can have all of his legal advice worked out, his understanding of the system worked out, but he made one mistake, and a little sif cut in a shaft somewhere. And he got into a fight with his counterpart in business because he was working on a different system. He had great intentions. He had 90% of the idea worked out properly, but he was just missing this one point. So he'll come to Din Mishpat to lose the case on the point. This Din Mishpat is the key to the approach to everything, and this is the idea that we were talking about before, that when we approach Musar, when we approach ethics, sometimes we feel very flexible. We can get the feeling that if it works this way, if not, move a little bit the other direction. We feel that the first thing that we're told that Hevi Mesunin Bedin, Hevi Mesunin Bedin, the first thing that we're told is that you have to know that the starting point of Torah Shel Baal Peh is the knowledge of Din. The knowledge that of knowing the Rebbein Shem's ways about everything that we'll approach the Rebbein Shem with is Din u'Mishpat. And Din u'Mishpat is exact. Having Mesunin Medin, person is so involved, so many rules, so many, person can feel, can't hold it, I can go wrong anymore. It's no problem. Having Mesunin Medin. All you have to do, you have everything, like he said before, it's ingrained in you. All of these systems are natural. All of these systems are proper. All these systems are the teva gashmi, the teva ruchni of a person. But what? You have psizus, like we were speaking before, that you could overlook, you can want to jump over the boundaries and get to where you want to get, jump directly. Either road goes around. No, I want to get there. Psizus, Hevi Mesunin Bedin. Din, we don't have to be afraid of. Din is the very essence of the system of the world of Hashem made up. The condition that we keep ourselves aware of it. If we let ourselves jump, then we'll stumble. Hevi Mesunin Bedin, think it over. Hevi Mesunin Bedin, we're capable, just like we're dealing with all of physical life, so too we can properly deal with all our ruchnis.